This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabi. Wa man da'a bi da'watihi wa stanna bi sunnati. إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فيقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity, no ill feeling except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners. And that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah constantly, always, send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family and his companions, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself and you of the critical importance of taqwa. One word which carries such a great meaning. It is a combination of the fear of Allah but the hope in the mercy of Allah. It is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love in meeting Him, the love in serving Him, which gives the believer strength to make the right decision in everything that he or she does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His book in a special way. The final Quran, the last testament, was revealed not only to deal with the circumstances in Arabia 1400 years ago, but also to deal with our situation today. And in the Quran, there are special points that reflect upon issues in our lives. There are special areas where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given divine guidance that we should seek when we find ourselves at special points. And the end of Surah Al-Hashr, Allah told us, O you who believe, have the consciousness of Allah, and let every soul look to what it put forward for tomorrow and fear Allah. Surely Allah is well aware of all that you do. And be not as those who forgot Allah, and so He made them forget themselves. Surely they are the disobedient ones. And so this divine formula begins with informing the believers of the importance of taqwa. Informing the believers never to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything that they do. And most people in hearing this think about today. They think about now, what is happening around me at this point in time. But the verse tells them, let every soul look to what it put forward for tomorrow. Think about the future. Don't just think about today. What seeds did you plant for tomorrow? Because the future is tied to the present. The present is tied to the past. And we are moving in the three stages. Out of the past, into the present, into the future. We're in a constant cycle in these stages. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, let every soul remember, reflect upon what it did. Not just for today, but for tomorrow. And when you reflect, then fear Allah. Because surely Allah knows everything that you do. And Allah ends this passage by saying, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be as those who forgot Allah. He will make them forget themselves. It is a divine use of the verb nasiya. If you forget Allah, then Allah added one letter, ziyadatul harf, ziyadatul ma'na. One letter is added to nasiya. If you forget Allah, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. He will make them forget themselves. And this is critical for us. Because to forget ourselves would mean that we would forget the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We would forget that we make up over 26% of the earth's population. We would forget that we have, despite the setbacks, we have great potential for the future. We would forget that our young people are some of the strongest, healthiest young people in the world. We would forget the potential that we have if we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in the things that we have been doing. And so time is a critical factor. And here time is given to us. And we are at one of those points where time makes a great difference in what we will do. Those of us who fasted yesterday, fasted in the summer solstice. This day is recorded to be the longest possible day in the whole year. It's a time-based event. But during that event, believers all over the world, it is Thursday in Shawwal, believers all over the world were fasting. And so when time came, they remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we apply that same principle to the month of Ramadan, we are leaving the month of Ramadan, we have left it in Shawwal, the principle of time. That we have gone into another month. But Allah said, لَا تَكُنُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. Do not be as those, in this critical point, who forgot Allah. And so those who did not forget Allah, then the struggle of Ramadan continues. The benefits of Ramadan, the fruits of Ramadan stay with us. It's like a beautiful basket of fruits have been given to you. And instead of preserving the fruit and benefiting from the fruit, we throw it out the window and say, well, we'll get those fruit next year when the fruits have ripened. But no, those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remember that we were seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. We were seeking through the fasting not just a victory over our stomachs, but we were seeking taqwa, closeness to Allah, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that this would impact upon us in everything that we would do. And this relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal and the month of Ramadan reminded us of the shortness of life. That life is not eternal. Our condition changed from one moment to another moment in the month of Ramadan. Similarly, our lives can change. And we saw people in the month of Ramadan whose lives were changed. Ramadan also reminded us, or gave us, as a fruit, a sabr. It gave us patience, constancy. We had to be patient not just on one day, on 2 days, but patient for the whole month. And so that patience for the believers who were fasting consciously helped them to raise their status. And it helped them to gain a special relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, who told us, Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. that verily Allah is with those who have patience, who are consistent, who persevere under all conditions. And that patience at many different levels, we learned it was not only just patience in difficulty, it's even patience in good times. Asaba al-afiyah. That when we are in good times, we have to have patience by not losing control of ourselves, because we think we're in a state of peace. We think we're in a state of wealth. We think we're in a state of health. But that can change overnight. Wal-iyadu billah. Ramadan for the believers helped us to gain self-control, to be able to see our body, to feel our body, to recognize we were hungry, to recognize we were thirsty, but we refused to eat and drink for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't for a political reason. It wasn't just for health reason. But it was for Allah Azza wa Jal that we refused to eat. We did that imsak, and the believer who gains the fruit of Ramadan will have that ability to control himself or herself after the month of Ramadan. That is the victory in the month of Ramadan. The victory is to continue the struggle. The victory is that that self-control will define us for the rest of the year. In Ramadan also, we learn to confront our fear. Many people were afraid of the month of Ramadan. And they said, how can we fast? The day is too long. The night is too short. How can we do this? It's not medically possible. And Allah made it easy. Allah made it easy not only for those who were able to hold during the month, but also for those who got sick, there is a way out. Those who were traveling, there was a way out. Those who were not able to fast for medical reasons, there was a way out. Because fasting is not a punishment. Fasting is not supposed to be a destruction of the nafs, a destruction of the body, but it is a strengthening of what is inside of us. So we confronted our fear. And that is critical for us in the rest of the year, to confront our fear, because around our nation are the evil ones, trying to put fear into our hearts. And as we confronted our fears in Ramadan, we also need to confront our fear and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are with Him. And that the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. The help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is near. The month of Ramadan also helped us, it enabled us to cultivate good manners. We even found out that the Prophet ﷺ had told us that if you are in the month of Ramadan and a person approaches you to fight you or to argue with you, then you say, no, inni sa'im, I'm fasting, I will not get into this. The victory for the fasting person is that outside of the month of Ramadan, outside, even if the person is not fasting outside of Ramadan, when foolishness and argumentation comes, then the person is strong enough to resist, to have self-control and not to lower themselves to the low level of the evil ones that are around us. And so we cultivated good character. We cultivated this. We cultivated good character in our tongues. We cultivated good character in our eyes. We cultivated good character how you deal with people. Parents, how you deal with your children. Children, how you deal with your parents. Husband to wife, wife to husband. Ramadan helped us to refine our manners. The Prophet ﷺ once said, in translation, I am the guarantor for a house on the outskirts of paradise for whoever leaves off arguing, even if he's right. Just stop here and think about this. The Prophet ﷺ said he will guarantee a house on the outskirts of paradise for the one who stops arguing, even if he's correct. He stops arguing. Then the Prophet ﷺ said in translation, and I am the guarantor of a house in the center of paradise for whosoever abandons falsehood, batil, even when he's joking. So when he tells a joke, he doesn't start swearing. Many of us in our culture, when we joke, they say we curse bad words. We say things, it's a joke, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, abandon batil, even in your joking. Even when you're playing around, then he would guarantee this. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and I am the guarantor of a house in the uppermost part of paradise for whosoever makes his character good. Whoever makes his character good, I will guarantee him a house in the highest part of paradise. This is a hadith reported in Abu Dawood, the Isnad and Sahih. And so, Ramadan was a victory for those whose character continues. Those who are on the highest level of fasting. The highest level of fasting. And that is where not only did the limbs fast, but the heart was fasting. The highest level, we confronted our hearts. Pride, arrogance, being proud of my color, proud of my nation, proud of my language, proud of my passport. This pride means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This pride is a fool's paradise. Because some think that they are proud, but Ramadan taught us that in one day, just before iftar, you felt your body. If you missed that iftar and went 2 days, even if you missed your suhoor, how did you feel? Where's the strong man? Where's the strong woman? We became weak. If you happen to miss the iftar and the suhoor for 3 days, imagine this, we would probably be in a stretcher carried to the hospital. Where is the strong man? Where is the strong woman? So pride, we confronted pride. And we should realize that these physical things mean nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had the highest lineage, he was Hashimi, Banu Hashim, and he was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they asked him, who are you? Tell us about yourself. And many people today, they would say, I am the son of this and the son of that. Who's the son of him from this country, from this section? You know how he answered? He said, I am the son of one of your women. That's all. I'm the son of one of your women. Humble answer for a person with that lineage. So confront pride and realize your brother and your sister, regardless of how they physically look, that is your real brother and sister in Islam and the highest level of brotherhood and sisterhood possible. We also confronted our hearts, hasad, jealousy, jealous of material things, jealous of some gain that another person makes in their life. We confronted it in this month on the highest level of fasting. And the victors, those who will really be victorious, will continue this confrontation. And not be jealous of material things, because we see in our Muslim world that those who gain materials, especially rapidly, their lives are destroyed. In most cases, except for a few, they lose their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan also gave us a sense of unity. Because no matter who you were, no matter what class you were, if you were fasting, you couldn't eat, you couldn't drink. Even though you have a high level, you stay in the top of the hotel, you couldn't eat. So you have to identify with the person in the street. So when that person in the street is breaking their fast, you are breaking your fast. And if we were thinking about what is happening, then we should empathize. Empathy is not just sympathy. Sympathy, you feel sorry for the person. But empathy is when you identify with the person. You identify with the person who is suffering. And this is what the month of Ramadan gave to the victorious ones, who we know as Abdullah, Emmatullah. And for Abdullah, the slave servant of Allah, his Lord is Hayyun La Yamut. His Lord is alive and will never die. But the other individual who creeps into our life is Abdul Ramadan. Abdul Ramadan is the slave of Ramadan. His Lord is dead, and he won't come back for a whole year. For Abdullah, prayer continues, fasting continues, sadaqah continues, good character continues. We lower our gaze, we continue to lower our gaze. We continue to not swear from our mouth. We continue to not tell lies. But for Abdul Ramadan, the slave of Ramadan, it changes. When Ramadan goes to Iyadu Billah, then the feeling for the masjid, the feeling for the community, the feeling for the poor, it leaves. It leaves the individual. And that is a test. And we have to try to avoid this, to try to stay in the position of Abdullah and Emmatullah, the slave servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to look at Islam not just as ritualistic, occasional religion. Think about this term. Ritualistic, occasional religion. That is a religion that people do on occasion, special occasions. It's a religion they do for rituals. No, it is a way of life. And Allah told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 208, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah tell us, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. Kaffa. Every aspect, enter into Islam and do not follow the footsteps of the evil one. So, piecemeal, ritualistic, occasional religion is actually the way of the shaitan, wa iyadu billah. The way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is udhulu fisilmi kaffa. Enter completely into Islam. Everything, every aspect of our life. And that is what we are looking for. Balanced Islam. The type of balanced Islam that can take us to a higher stage. And so let us focus this year, amongst other things. Number one, let us think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we act. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you do an action, especially important actions. Let us also, before we make decisions, reflect on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would he have done in this circumstance? Number three, let us focus on character, akhlaq. That our Islam is not just the clothes we wear or the slogans, but it is our character, interpersonal relationships. Number four, let us try and strive for operational unity, to find a way to unite with other Muslims, even though there are some things different. Also, number five, to bring Islamic solutions to real problems in the world. And that will mean that we will seek alliances with people of other faiths, seek alliances with those good-minded people, and try to provide Islamic solutions to the real problems of society. This then, inshallah, would make Ramadan a victory for the believers. It would make us victorious. And inshallah, if this ummah can take this on, then we can raise with Ata'ifatul Mansura. We can raise with the victorious party who still lives. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would strengthen and raise up Ata'ifatul Mansura, that Allah would bring up this victorious party and unite Muslims around the truth as we move to the rest of the year. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.